All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and continuing to focus on the gold sector broadly as we are now wrapping up the show with Dr. Jim Jones, private investor, becoming a regular guest on our show. Doc Jones, we were chatting off mic about where gold stands after the flash crash early on this week and the full recovery of pretty much $100 in the gold price by the end of the week. It has some of the gold bugs encouraged to say that, look, that 1670 to 1680 level held. That could be a triple bottom or a double bottom on longer term charts. And look, gold produced a bullish hammer, bullish reversal hammer. So here we go. Maybe we have a bit of an uptrend moving for gold. Doc Jones, take us through your thoughts. What did this week tell you about gold? What's still your overall assessment of the gold market?
Hi, Corey and Shad. Nice to talk to you both. It doesn't really change much as far as my assessment. I think you have to be very selective if you are going to invest in precious metals right now. I do see gold going flat to down over the next year, maybe 18 months. Part of that reason is that one thing that does drive gold prices is fear, and with the amount of stimulus that's still coming into the system. And right now, the United States, for example, has the highest amount of job openings ever. There's over 10 million job openings in the United States. So we're not seeing a period where companies are cutting staff, laying off people, creating a lot of fear. I just don't see where the demand's going to come from that's going to drive the price higher. And with that as well, long-term, my forecast is higher, though. Like, I see gold getting up to, above 2,500. That's 3 years out from now, 2 to 3 years out. The problem is that the business cycle, to a certain extent, is broken. The governments aren't allowing a cleansing of the system. We have all these zombie companies. We have zombie individuals. And they're being propped up by government stimulus by getting free money. And so there is no fear out there. As well as once we do get to a point where the Fed will be forced to raise rates because their mandate is fulfilled as far as creating full employment and keeping inflation at 2%, it's running a lot hotter than that. And their transitory definition now is that we don't say that the inflation prices will go down. We just say it's transitory because it's not going to increase at this rate going forward. So we have this massive increase in inflation. And then going forward, we'll get to a 2 to 3% over the next few years. But the thing to consider is once we do get to some kind of crisis that leads to a recession or depression, it'll begin probably as a currency crisis. When you have a currency crisis, what happens is the U.S. dollar strengthens. People go into the U.S. dollar, and primarily that's because over 90% of the global debt in the world is denominated in U.S. dollars. And to service the interest on that debt has to be done in U.S. dollars, creating an inherent demand for U.S. dollars, especially during a time of crisis where it requires more of that foreign currency to purchase U.S. dollars to put to service your debt with. And so when people talk about how money supply is growing exponentially, therefore the precious metal prices will go up exponentially, that is not true. It's actually never been correlated that way, right? And when they put that extra supply, when the lender of last resort, the United States, to the rest of the world, they put that liquidity out there, it's sucked up primarily by people servicing debt. And when people service debt and pay off debt, they actually are contracting the money supply because that fractional reserve, that dollar that was created from nothing in the fractional reserve system, evaporates, causing a contraction of the money supply as well, which is negative for gold prices as well. That's where I stand on that. I just don't see where the catalyst is going to come to bring gold prices higher. And where the demand is going to come through. Even with Basel III, people were expecting that to do something to really raise the price of gold. But if you look at the nitty gritty of it and look at the fine print, they've put in exceptions for the bullion banks as far as what type of collateral they can use and reserves and stuff like that. So it's not a hard rule as people thought, where they weren't allowed to hedge their gold positions with paper. They still can.
Doc Jones, what about the argument that there's so much money that's being printed and continuing to be printed, especially out of the Fed, that that should be driving gold to $10,000? We've heard these claims before.
Yeah, but empirically, it's not true, though. Like, the money supply has grown in the last 20 years by a massive amount. And gold prices in the last 20 years, since like 1980, or go back 30 years or 40 years, the gold price has underperformed. And lately, too, in the last 2 years, the gold price has underperformed considerably as the money supply has grown incredibly, right? So, you know, the biggest thing that seems to drive gold is fear, and inflation can be good for gold. It just it's not a guarantee. It's not a 1-to-1 correlation. Especially right now when we're not heading into a recession, right? Like there is so much money out there that's chasing all these goods and services, and so much stimulus money that's creating economic growth, that the base metals and the soft commodities are vastly outperforming gold. Doesn't mean gold's going to go to zero or something like that. Still, people fail to realize that the price gold is today is a really good price for a lot of producers. Like $1,500 gold is a really good price. You can make a lot of money mining gold and selling it for $1,500 an ounce. That's a really good price. It just means that if you are investing capital, you want to go where your capital is going to have the best chance of appreciation. And gold doesn't appear to be that place yet. It will be, just not probably for 2 years.
You bring up a good point there as far as, you know, these are good prices for the producers. You know, $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 gold, they're going to be fine. Same thing with silver. You know, anything above $21, the producers are making money. But just back to the point you were making about the money supply and how that really hasn't impacted the price of gold. A lot of people make the argument, I'd love to get your thoughts on it, that what we saw out of the great financial crisis to present, really, you know, over the last 12 years, most of that money was not being loaned out to individuals. It was not getting into individuals' hands. So there wasn't the velocity money. And so we also didn't see inflation. Over the last year or so, there has been trillions of dollars put into these programs, and there has been the repo markets. There's been a change in that. There is now the velocity of money. And when money creation is leading to real inflation now, and we're starting to see that in prices, and like you mentioned, the commodities prices started taking off a little bit. Do you think that there could be a narrative for gold where it could still do well, not based on crisis, not based on black swan events, not based on geopolitics, but based on monetary policy and an increase in inflation, and when the central banks finally have to cry uncle and start hiking rates, could that be something that underpins gold? Because that would also eventually cause the dollar to roll over. The other point you made was that the dollar is sucking up, kind of Brent Johnson's dollar milkshake theory, that it's sucking up, you know, the investment capital. Mm-hmm. We saw that in spades during the pandemic crash. When everything crashed, the dollar got the bid, and gold and silver and the miners still got sold off. But they also did bounce back very quickly. And a lot of that was based on the new narrative of, hey, there could be real inflation from all this money printing. There could be real ramifications if the velocity money picks up. Could it be a monetary policy that causes gold to get a bid medium term to longer term?
Well, I disagree with we don't really have a lot of velocity in money right now. Like the banks are not lending. And the savings rate is the highest it's been in decades in the United States. So people are not spending that money. So the money is not multiplying out there. And there's also a lack of demand for loans, because people have been given money by the government and whatnot. And compared to the financial crisis, we had almost an imminent failure of the global monetary system, which we don't have now. Back then, we had massive layoffs across all industries, which we do not have now. We had massive foreclosures, the depreciation of hard assets, which we do not have. We have the opposite, right? So there isn't a lot of correlation between the financial crisis and our current state of affairs. It's actually quite opposite. You would think that with interest rates being negative, almost negative at the nominal rate, and then the actual real interest rates are negative, that you would think the gold price would be much higher, right? But it's not. And part of that reason is because we don't have that fear factor that's out there. So we're still in an expanding economic environment. The next 2 years, the GDP is going to grow drastically, and capital is going to chase where it will be treated the best. And right now, it's not the gold market. There isn't any fear out there that will drive that. And and also within the gold producers itself, you look at, instead of investing in bullion, but in producers, the headwinds that they have, there's a lot of new government policies that are slowing down permitting and making it more expensive for them to do business. The comps between last year and the year before, energy prices have risen quite a bit. Labor prices are rising everywhere. The cost of steel, wood, copper, anything that you need for a mine, the equipment, and also the lag times to get those things. Try to get like a winch for a mine. Like, it's, I've talked to a guy and it's like it's taken months and months longer than it did in previous years just to get the basic equipment he needs to get his project up. So those things are really hurting the producers. So you'll probably see their margins contract, right? And contracting margins is not a good investment thesis for people, regardless of the price going up. And those commodities, those base metal commodities, things like that, and the goods and services that you need to build a mine, run a mine, are increasing faster than the price of gold, which has been on a downward trajectory for over a year now, right?
Yes, that is very true there, Doc Jones. And it's an interesting take. Different a little bit from what Jesse Felder had to say in the first couple segments, but hey, I respect the way that you look at the markets as well. Where are your focus now? How are you managing your portfolio? What are you focused on in terms of making money for your portfolio?
Like I look at things from the guys, the viewpoint of as an investor, which I am, right? That's what I do. So I have contracted my portfolio over the last few months. I began the year, generally I have a very focused portfolio. I began the year with close to 15 stocks, and now I've pared it down to about four, raised cash, and also have been doubling down on my best investments that have performed well, and also, you know, have more data has come out that I can test my thesis with. And as that thesis is being proven and strengthened, then I go heavier and heavier into that. So I'm heavily in the base metals that do have, Amerita Resources is my largest holding. They came out with their assays today after waiting 6 years, finally got into that project, and they've proved up the historical, which is great. And they've got two rigs running and a lot more data coming through there. And I have maintained one gold investment because of their location, the historic resource, and the fact they're cashed up. Like in general terms, without talking about specific stocks, what I'm looking for and what I'm constructing now is a portfolio of companies that are late stage exploration, that the resource underpins the value of the company, as well as they are completely cashed up for at least the next 2 years, right? So because the problem is that, like, especially in the gold sector, as far as the gold stocks, they raised a bunch of money last year and they went out and they drilled a bunch of drill holes. And even when they were really good, it didn't move the stock price. In a lot of cases, it's lower now. So we're looking at another round of massive dilution in the gold sector for these companies that have weak treasuries, because they didn't get the response that you would have thought they would, where they came in with a really good drill hole that connects the dots of the deposit. They grew the deposit. It went from, hypothetically, from 1 million ounces to 1.5 million ounces. But now their market cap is less than it was at the beginning of the season, and they're going to have to raise money again, which means a lot more dilution. Like, I'm fearful of the dilution factor, because the next round of dilution that comes from raising money in the explorer sector, I think, is going to be very, very tough. And your upside can be diluted away. You know, market caps can grow, but if the share count has has expanded, then the stock goes nowhere. And in the end, you don't make any money that way, right? Yeah, so I'm staying, some energy weighted towards natural gas because natural gas prices are and the supply-demand fundamentals for natural gas globally are really good, especially in North America. Like in California, the natural gas is going for over $5 an MCF, which is amazing price for natural gas considering it was under $2 for the last few years. And sticking to copper, zinc, lead, polymetallic, with some precious metals credit so that if something that goes into production a year or 2 years from now, as we enter what I think will be the bull market for precious metals, then those companies will, those credits will essentially cover the cost of producing all the other stuff. You know, their cash costs will be negative, which is really nice.
All right, Doc Jones, we're going to wrap it up here. I always find your comments interesting and yeah, maybe unfortunately not as bullish as some of the precious metals bugs would like, but a bit of a different take on what just is driving the precious metals here. And hey, you're speaking with it to your portfolio by limiting some of your positions and I guess seeing kind of where this all leads to. Doc Jones, it's great having you on the show. I really appreciate your time. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Boy, oh boy, it was kind of a roller coaster ride for the precious metals this week. That's why we focus so much on the precious metals. Let's see what next week has. And please keep up to date with us on our website, kereport.com. And you can always email Chad and myself, either chad@kereport.com or fleck@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you. Doc Jones, everyone, thanks for your time this weekend. I hope you all have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.